Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Welcome to another edition of Dare to Win. Tonight's question, are we as a people poisoned or just sick? Again, are we as a people poisoned or just sick? We'll be exploring this topic and others this evening in our broadcast. Stay tuned. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back. Greetings, family, and welcome to Dare to Win. And yes, we are the drum, calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Good evening, family, and welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 to 10. Dare to Win is the place where we have a sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join the conversation this evening, call 929-477-2789. Then press the number 1 on your phone if you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you're on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com, click on Ulu Radio tab, then click on Listen Live. My name is Brother Kimbizi. I'm one of the board members of Us Lifting Us. I'll be your host this evening, and I'm really excited. We have as a special guest Sister Adama Alaji. She's been in the Atlanta area for quite some time and been on WRFG hosting the program Meeting of the Inner Circle, I guess going on 20 years. And so she's a life coach help, a life coach specialist. She has operates the Mother Earth Healing Center on Cheshire Bridge Road, and she has provided counseling to thousands and thousands of sisters and brothers on understanding diet and health and how we get to a point of being able to exalt the life urge. She's joining us tonight and via the phone, and I just want to say welcome, Sister Adama. It's good to have you with us tonight. Sister Adama, are you there? Sister Adama, can
I'm
you
here.
Hear us?
I hear you.
Good evening and welcome. Do you want to say a few words of welcome to our audience?
Bless your hearts, everybody, for taking time to be present. The conversation of our liberation is a necessary conversation. A lot of times people try to limit it to an event, but it's something that has to be really discussed consistently over time. So I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you. Just of interest to our audience, Adama began intensive studies at the Conscious Cosmic Citizenship, the Now Age Ideal for Assisting Humanity, with Native African Elder Josiah Osagwu in 1982, and she's been active in that arena ever since. As I mentioned, she produces the radio program, the Meeting of the Inner Circle, and recently she opened. She's been a strict vegetarian for a long time. I'll let her tell you how long that has been. And she currently has established Mother Earth's Blessing Holistic Life Center, which is a center where our people can go and get information, be in a positive space, and just evolve. And so with that said, Sister Adama, welcome again to Us Lifting Us's Dare to Win weekly program. We look at a range of issues. We always explore the economic dimension of these issues. But I think there's a very powerful and strong connection between our economic well-being and our physical well-being, specifically how healthy are we, and how does that affect the economic reality that we find ourselves in. And the first thing that I wanted to engage our audience around is the question of food addiction. You shared on a recent broadcast of yours, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, who talked about the fact that we think we're having a hard time changing our diet even when we make the decision to do so. And I thought it was very helpful that he brought in the whole aspect of how addictive the food is. So let's begin the conversation at that point and share with our audience your thoughts around what we need to be eating and what we are eating and why it is so hard to change.
Well, there's a few points I want to make. Is that, one, we are not having the conversation of being under a global initiative that is depopulation and genocide, where the food or that which we have come to call food is literally the tool of oppression. And then we have the weapons of mass destruction, which are the tobacco, the alcohol, the white sugar, which is the gateway drug to all other drug addictions, plus the pharmaceutical use that has exponentially increased over the last 40 years. So our orientation in terms of what it is to be human and having been socialized by a people who have taken over another people, who never had the intention to feed the people that which would create optimum cellular functioning. So we've learned to eat whatever they've put forward, which is generally whatever fills the belly. And that which fills the belly, the flesh of dead animals, the aborted fetuses of chickens, the pus and mucus of cows, the dairy, the cheese, the artificially colored, artificially flavored. So, you know, the chemicals that are in all of it has its impact and effect, because being driven under a system of capitalism that is literally predicated on psychology, and I was a psychology major at the University of Florida in the mid-70s. Psychology is the primary study that really introduced how to undermine a being's natural intelligence to exalt a full life's urge, to know its food, to excrete its waste, to know its kind, to perpetuate itself, and to be able to respond correctly and directly when being when its life is being threatened. So the chemicals that are in that which we refer to as food, the stuff that can sit on shelves indefinitely, all of the mucus-producing things, so it's necessary for us to realize that at these points of an absolute and supreme intelligence that is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. We are designed perfectly and perfectly and divinely designed, and we all must breathe. Breath is the animating force of our existence. It's more in the air than we think that is there. And so 90% of what we're consuming is creating waste products, which are the chemical, the uric acid from the meats, the lactic acid from the milk, and the dairy, the cheese, the carbonic acid from the starches, plus the mucus that holds all of that into our bodies, so that the AIDS, the asthma, the sleep apnea, all of the things that interfere with our breath that shows up now where people are now dragging along oxygen tanks, we have to realize that we're not human feeders or human eaters. We're identifying ourselves based upon what we eat, and not as if just a decision as to what we eat is what should predicate how we feed. But we respect that there's an operational, ideal mechanical functioning of our cars, so and our trucks, and our motorcycles and whatnot. So we're not going to put lard where the motor oil goes. We're not going to put Kool-Aid where the transmission fluid goes. We're not going to do anything other than what was specified by the manufacturer's code of how to promote long-term mechanical functioning in our vehicles. But then we have completely disregarded and disrespected the divine design of our body temples, and we're feeding from a people who have already proven that they do not have our best interests at heart or their own.
So let me ask you a question right there, Sister Adama. You said a couple of things about the dead flesh of animals, the pus of milk, I mean the pus of cows,
the aborted fetuses of chicken, et cetera.
So, you're obviously you're advocating a plant-based diet, and
oftentimes,
when people come back from their doctors, they'll say, well, I'm eating healthy, I'm eating a good diet. Why do they have that idea in their minds that they're eating a good diet after they leave the doctor? And none of those things that you've mentioned, the doctors have not told them they need to take out of their diet.
Not until they've had the heart attacks or the strokes, or they're morbidly obese, and still they don't really specify, because everybody, including the doctors, the judges, the police officers, the superintendents, everybody has been poisoned from the very onset of their lives, all right, because we were all fed the flesh of dead animals, the aborted fetuses of chickens, the pus and mucus of cows, because European culture feels like this is food for them. Now, we never ask what makes a people feel entitled to capture you, beat you, rape you, enslave you, hang you, castrate you, set you afire, turn the dogs on you, the fire hydrants on you, declare that you're less than human, but then they need you, will go to war with each other to keep you as their property, cannot either have an economic foundation except by you. We were enslaved behind the sugar industry. We were enslaved behind the tobacco industry. We were enslaved behind cotton. You understand? So now that Africans in America are no longer the slaves to sugar, sugar is not out of production, who are the slaves now? Whether it's the Dominicans or the Haitians or whatever, I'm just saying is that we have to realize that cellular oppression is the methodology of oppression, to oppress us at our cellular functioning. So when we talk about what are the requisites for becoming a liberated people, it has to be liberation at the cellular level, in the conscious recognition that, one, we're breatharian first. Everybody has to breathe. So it's not just about having a plant-based diet. It's about acknowledging that there is a right way to promote optimum cellular functioning as a human being. What is necessary for a human being to function optimally? What does optimum cellular functioning create? It creates optimum thought. What does optimum thought create? It allows us to be creative. It allows us to be in a place where we are able to hear and to see and to be in the light of the truth of ourselves. So when we look at the reality that our bodies, we live in our bodies. So if everybody took their age and multiply it times 365 days, or I'll say this, take your age and then subtract 730, just subtract 2 years from it, because for 2 years, the first 2 years, we probably didn't have teeth, right? So So if you're 40 years old, then multiply 38 times 365. If you're 60, then multiply 58 times 365, so you get the amount of days that you've been on the planet. And for most of those days, 20,000 days or something, you bathe the outside of your body and you brush your teeth. But you live on the inside of your body. And for most of those days, we have been consuming the flesh of dead animals, the aborted fetuses of chickens, the pus and mucus of cows, artificial colors, artificial flavors, all of this stuff, which is the foundation of where the sickness is. So, yes, we're poisoned and we're sick. But our behavior has been modified in the poisoning because we're dealing with the effect of the chemicals. Now, when Hitler's regime was overturned, the United States government gave his scientists asylum in the United States. So the Germans are the ones who are behind the chemical, artificial color, artificial flavor industry. So if you get a carton of Minute Maid orange juice in Miami, and you get another one in Atlanta, and you get another one in Connecticut, and you get another one in California, 9 times out of 10, it tastes exactly the same. Those are because of the chemicals that are in it. Otherwise, there'd be no way for there to be uniformity of taste across time, distance, crops, and all of that.
Let me take you back.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Let me take you back just a bit. You said something that resonated. You said that the goal is to have optimum functioning, and that begins at the cellular level. And then you said,
right,
when there's optimum functioning at the cellular level, that leads to optimum thought. Are you suggesting that if we are not functioning optimally at the cellular level, it's going to mess up our thinking?
I'm suggesting that when you've been poisoned all of your life with the flesh of dead animals, the aborted fetuses of chickens, the pus and mucus of cows, and all of the chemicals, the hormones, antibiotics, and whatever, there's no way in hell that you can think.
Okay.
We can regurgitate the thoughts of other people. We can get through school. We can even get We can even get scholarships. We can become doctors and lawyers and judges and whatnot with this thing. You understand? But it doesn't mean that we're really thinking, because if we were really thinking, we would have outthought this.
Okay.
We should have outthought
All
it.
All right. Okay.
So the the economy that we're dealing with is the economics of death.
So we're in a death culture, and at the root of that death culture, you're saying, is a death economy.
Yeah, the economy of death. So first, the economy of the world built upon the marginalization and the violation and the annihilation of our indigenous families on the North Central and South American continent. All right, everywhere that they went, they murdered and killed and raped and diseased millions of people, decimated nations of people. Now it's a global initiative, and we follow a people who have no light, no love, no wisdom, no truth, but we feed from them. So this is a problem in terms of why it is that other cultures can function harmoniously. You know, other cultures can come to the United States and set up their grocery stores and eat food that's, you know, and bring food and begin the importing and exporting of food that's consistent with their DNA. Of course, we never got that. So we're having to try to pick from the best of what's available. But the issue is this, is that we have to have that which is oxygenating, because we are oxygen beings. We're breathing beings. Water, we're 80% water, like the earth is 80% water. Water is hydrogen and oxygen. All right, so ideally our food should be water-based food that facilitates the oxygenation, the mineralization, the alkalization, and is easy to be eliminated through 30 feet of intestines, which the flesh of dead animals and the aborted fetuses of chickens and the pus and mucus of cows and cheese and eggs. And now you've got so many ones where veganism and vegetarianism is trending. And I have been strict vegetarian for 41 years and refining consistently. And because I've seen so many vegan and vegetarians pass away, even though they were vegan and vegetarian, they weren't born vegan and vegetarian. That means we were all fed meat, dairy, eggs, chicken, and fish, and all of these chemicals, the nitrates, the nitrites, the artificial colors, artificial flavors, and these things that have modified our behavior. So we are not able to respond correctly to being warred against. It used to be when a people understood that they were being warred against, they would rally together, they would strategize, they would try to create a way to protect themselves, defend themselves, or get out the way. All right, now what we do under the behavior modification is that we're co-conspirating, complicit, complacent, and we work on behalf of these corporate deities of death. We work on behalf of the alcohol industry, the tobacco industry, the sugar industry, the sodas. You understand? Coca-Cola, Burger King, McDonald's, we franchise, we got money. You understand? So we're participating in the economics of death, because we've been lied to and taught that, well, everybody dies. You're supposed to die from something. So since you're supposed to die from something, then, you know, go for all the gusto you can. You only go around once in life. You understand? So every graduation, every celebration, every New Year's, every Christmas, every this and that, we're feasting off the flesh of dead animals and all of this garbage, so that we are completely out of attunement with the truth of who we are as these living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of an absolute and supreme intelligence that is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal, or that which we would refer to as God, which is the only salvation, which is the only power we can have economically or ethically or whatever over systems of oppression. That have compromised us to the degree to which we can hardly be recognized.
Let's pause right there for a moment, Sister Dharma.
Yes.
Sisters and brothers, to join the conversation, call 929-477-2789. Again, that number is 929-477-2789. 9. You'll press the number 1 on your phone, and that'll raise your hand in the studio, and we'll see you, and we'll open your line and receive your comment or your question. Sister Dama, we're going to take a quick music break, and when we come back on the other side of the break, I want to talk about the monetary aspects of this so-called diet that we have been feeding on, and how this is hurting us economically. I saw a figure that said in 2018, Americans spent $344 billion, that's billion with a B, on prescription drugs. And we know that African Americans are leading all of the categories of poor health 2-1. So there's a good possibility we've spent upwards of $60 to $70 billion coming out of the black community just in terms of prescription drugs. So when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about that. And just ask you to give that some thought. And don't touch the dial. We'll be right back. Brothers and sisters, again, welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday night broadcast. My name is Brother Kimbezi, and I'm joined this evening by a very special guest, WRFG radio personality, Sister Adama. And we are talking about poisoned or just sick. Could poor black health be tied to the food that we eat? Sister Adama, you've said some very provocative things over the last 35 minutes or so. You said that we are part of a death culture, that we are being warred upon, that we are being oppressed at the cellular level. Sad to say, all of that's very true, isn't it? And so we want to look at, for this next segment, how economically we are participating in our own destruction. And I shared before the break that Americans spent $344 billion last year in prescription drugs, and African Americans no doubt have spent upwards of $60 billion on prescription drugs. That doesn't talk about what we're spending on fast foods and the wrong foods. It doesn't talk about what we're spending in the doctor's office, and it certainly doesn't talk about what we're spending over the counter purchasing prescription drugs. So, Sister Adama, help us to understand how all this fits together in our oppression, so that at least we can begin to think more soberly about the food choices that we're making, because if there's one thing we can control, we think, it's what we're putting in our mouth.
Well, the issue is, Lizzie, is that because of the years of meat, dairy, eggs, chicken, fish, flesh, alcohol, tobacco, and sugar, it's not even so much what we're eating, it's the necessity for us to be cleansing. Because we brush our teeth every day and we bathe the outside of our bodies every day. So for those who are in my audience and my clients and customers and whatnot who may smoke, I say, well, if you smoke every day, then why do you brush your teeth? You know, why would you bathe if you really want to feed off the flesh of dead animals that have to rot in your body or that are filled with so much preservatives and you know, that they can't rot in your body? Then why even bathe if you're going to just pollute yourself? You know, so it's not just what we eat. When you look at the word diet, D-I-E, and the T that is symbol of the cross that's on the graveyard. All right, so that our oppression is really, they're making much more money in our sickness, illness, and disease than they could have possibly made in sugar, cotton, tobacco. You understand? Exactly, the major issue. See, this is old money in America. It's old money in America is the beef, the sugar, the alcohol. You understand? These were their habits. You understand? These were their habits. We were bartered with for rum. You understand? When the Jews built those slave ships and they took barrels of rum. So I'm just saying is that we have to begin to look at what the purpose in existence is, because the purpose in existence is not how much money we make. That's a disorientation about what life is. Life is not about generating money. And the successes in life is not about how much money you generate in life. So to have an orientation as to what constitutes success in life that is based upon those who never took responsibility to be properly oriented as to what the purpose in existence upon the planet is an error. Because what we're looking at is that we are already immersed in eternity. The planet itself is spinning in space. The space that it is in is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. It is cosmic. We've come to the earth through the wombs of our mothers, sparked by the divine sacred fluid from our fathers. Money, and we can value money and having a value for that which allows us to have some kind of exchange for it, talents, goods, services, and whatnot. But the acquisition and the making money is not the purpose in existence. And those who are now complicit and complacent because now they work for the pharmaceutical company. See, those of us who got educated, it's not illiterate people who are ruining the world. It's those of us who become educated to follow the dynamics of a people who are in the progression of error because they do not have a proper orientation as to what the purpose in life is, but they've given us an orientation as to what success in life is. To die,
you know,
and leaving your children with all of this stuff that you were so busy working and making money that you didn't even have time to even be with your children. So you understand that you're going to die and leave money for your children when your children should be the progression of us as lineages of people. So the money is not so much the issue as it is the necessity for us to care, to really invest in our reconciliation, our clearing, our cleansing, our purification, our consecration, our realignment, our reattunement, our consciously caring to be these ones of this absolute and supreme intelligence to really tap the wealth of ourselves, which is beyond the money.
Mm.
So when the sister says that we're suffering because of this post-traumatic slave syndrome, right? And I'm saying, how could that be? If there was a post-traumatic slave syndrome, then George Washington Carver would have had it. Frederick Douglass would have had it. All of those ones who were on the first, second, third generation of enslavement would have had that. There would have not been a Rosewood. There couldn't have been a community of Rosewood. There couldn't have been a Black Wall Street if we were suffering from post-traumatic slave syndrome. The issue for us is the fact that we're being poisoned on a daily basis and programmed with stuff that that puts us in a place where we're desensitized to what the purpose in existence is in self-actualizing, self-realizing, harmonizing with the laws that govern existence and understanding that we should be in high ethic and high morality and that our marriages and in terms of the oneness of man and woman being held as Godhead and being the perpetuator of lineages of people, that this is something that really constitutes our real wealth. So that whatever they're spending in death, understand that because there's absolute law that governs existence, those who are the legislators, the perpetuators, the profiteers, delusionally profiting, right? Because there's no real profit that you can make when you kill, all right? So, no, it's going to be sealed in tragic date with fate in death. So our responsibility is to understand that the wealth of who we are is so far beyond money that when we consciously seek to be completely cleared and cleansed from the toxicity of our function of our bodies and our blood so that we can be renewed and rebirthed and regenerated and rejuvenated, then we are creating awesome possibilities for a wealth that is beyond comprehension.
Okay, you're pushing us to think more deeply about the purpose and meaning of life itself.
Yes.
I saw a license tag, and every now and then it pops up, he who dies with the most toys wins. And it just struck me how how silly that is. But quiet as it's kept, all of us seem to be on a treadmill trying to accumulate stuff, as if the stuff somehow equates to or somehow validates us or is a measure of our value. And what I hear you saying is that the real wealth of us far goes way beyond that. And
absolutely.
It's only the programming that we have been subjected to that causes us not to see that.
Exactly, because the bottom line is our education is a system of indoctrination. Education should have been a system of ensuring the progression of the being that is already there. But we have been socialized on the path of adulteration, so that by 21, we were labeled adult. Adult is short for adulterated, no longer what the Creator intended. We know shame and game and blame and guilt and all of this sexual stuff. We've experienced stuff by 21 that we don't even discuss now with anybody. That literally when you compound it from the rape, the incest, the verbal abuse, the mental abuse, you understand, the physical abuse and whatnot, which is stemming from the toxicity of the blood being poisoned with the flesh of dead animals, the aborted fetuses of chickens, the pus and mucus of cows, the alcohol, the tobacco, the sugar, and all of that. It creates filth within the body. It creates filth within the blood. It creates the, it turns the blood into sludge, and the spirit is charged upon the blood. So the filth of the blood lays foundation for the degradation of the thought. And the thought then becomes base. It becomes carnal. It becomes men raping their daughters. It becomes sex trafficking. It becomes pornography being multi-billion-dollar business. It becomes the spewing of the life force. So a man can meet a woman in a club, and she seduces him, or he seduces her, or say they seduce each other, and then he spews so much of himself in a latex condom and flushes himself down the sewage that we think very little of ourselves with all of our trinkets, all of our polished wood, metal, and stone. Abortion is the number one killer of us as a people. Understand, I opened up and said...
Say that again. Abortion is what?
Abortion is the number one killer of us as a people.
Okay.
Okay.
What are we barring, about half a million babies a year?
It's probably more than that. All right. And so there was a European man that called my radio show one morning about 4 a.m., he said, well, what do you think about the homosexuals? I said, I think the homosexuals, the heterosexuals, the bisexuals, the asexuals, the nonsexuals, everybody needs to be completely cleared, cleansed, purified, renewed, rebirthed, regenerated, rejuvenated, revitalized, and revivified to stand as resurrected beings of this living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of this absolute and supreme intelligence that beats our hearts and breathes us, is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. Click.
Well,
is it the homosexuals that are aborting all of these babies? So I'm just saying is that we have to look at the wealth of ourselves. We have to invest in the wealth of ourselves because we are so far beyond what men can create. Men make money. The myths, you understand? They create money. Money is not success. It's a tool to be used. It's not something that we should be whoring for, pimping for,
right,
killing for. You understand? It's just something that we can use. But when we trade our life currency for wage, for money, and then spend and then get a paper currency for it, and then take that paper currency and then buy things and bring them into our bodies that undermine and rob us of our life currency, we are practicing the economics of impoverishment. Because there'll be less of ourselves in doing that consistently over time, which is the foundation of all of the homelessness, the hopelessness, the addiction.
We're going to take another break, Sister Dhamma, and
okay,
we're going to, when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about the very things that you've laid out. How do we change the definition of the meaning of life, and what institutions do we build that help us to concretize those new definitions? Family, stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Thank you. And welcome, family. Welcome again to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday night broadcast. My name is Brother Kim Beasy, and we are joined this evening by Sister Adama, proprietor, organizer, creator of the Mother Earth Holistic Center for Life here in Atlanta. And she's been leading us in a conversation around really the real meaning of life and how we are these breatharians, these oxygenated beings that live inside of these bodies. And if we would take that seriously and detox and cleanse and purify, we could optimize our thought process. As we continue the conversation, Sister Adama, I'm so glad that you're with us tonight, because one of the things that Us Lifting Us has consistently argued from our inception is that we operate on a different value system. We operate on a system of ma'at, truth, justice, righteousness, order, balance, harmony, and reciprocity, along with the Nguza Saba, Ujamaa, Umoja, Kuji Chagalia, Ujima, Nia, Kuumba, and Imani. So we operate on a life-giving set of values. And the only way that these values can become concrete is we have to build the institutions that enable us to live these values on a day-to-day basis. Hence, Us Lifting Us, Economic Development Cooperative, LLC. So I'm hoping that the conversation tonight at least has got us thinking at a much deeper level. We obviously cannot practice these life-giving values inside of the institutions that surround us right now. They are founded upon a death culture. They revolve around decay and the destruction of people and life and Mother Earth herself. And we know this. We are the planet right now, through global warming and the possibility of climate catastrophe, all the signals are there to say, wake up, we have to go in a different direction. And so what Us Lifting Us is proposing, let's pool the $1.3 trillion that flows through our fingers on an annual basis and create a global cooperative economy where Black African-descended people can live dramatically different lives. It's very clear from the conversation that we've had tonight that we're going to have to be dramatically different people ourselves in order to erect these kinds of institutions. But I think Sister Adama has given us a broad outline of where we begin. And if we really take ourselves seriously, this is an opportunity to experience life on levels that we have not even dared to imagine up till now. So, to real quick, the way you become a member of Us Lifting Us is you take out a $50 annual membership fee. That entitles you to become a voting member, to attend the annual meetings, to be part of the conversations where we discuss policy and what businesses to open, which direction we want to go. And then when you're able, either through a graduated program, however makes sense for your budget, purchase a co-op unit of $1,000, that gives us the resources to begin to open cooperative businesses. Now, these businesses are owned and controlled by us. We set the agenda. We determine the policy. We figure out how much money people will make for working there. We determine the prices of the goods and services that are provided. This is our institution. And so it's obvious that the institutions that are currently in front of us right now don't give us that kind of opportunity. We're going to have to build it. And we are more than able to do it. We've done it before. We're going to do it again. And with your help, we'll do it even faster and better. So visit our website, usliftingus.com. That's USLIFTINGUS.com. take a look around, see what our positions are, what our strategy is, and if it makes sense to you, click the join button, and we'll send you documents, and you can become a part of us lifting us. I want to return to the conversation that we're having with Sister Adama. One of the things that I've heard you say many, many times, Sister Adama, is the need for us as a people to detox, to cleanse, to purify. Why do we need to do this?
Because the spirit is charged on the blood. We live in our bodies. All right?
Say
and
that again.
Living,
say that again, please. The spirit is
we
what?
We live. The spirit is charged upon the blood. You've heard it say the life is in the blood. The spirits that we are is charged upon our blood so that we're present in these bodies. But then within the physical body, there are light bodies. So when people have amputations, they'll say, well, I still feel my leg there. It's a phantom leg, so it itches, there's pain and whatnot, because within the context of the physical body, there are other bodies. We are present in the realm of eternity. We are immortal beings. Our purpose in being on the planet is to self-actualize, self-realize, harmonize with the laws of existence so that we are turning on the switches. We're getting turned on, tuned in, you understand, so that we are able to leave our bodies without having died. Living in a death culture means that whatever light you had under the path of adulteration, you are literally, by the time you live seven cycles of 7 years at 49, and you have not really made commitments to really living, then the death gene is completely activated. So when I say turn the lights on, we're talking about the energy centers, the chakras of the body. You understand? So a lot of people do yoga, they're doing breathing exercises and this and that, but people still feel as though, and then they're changing their diets, but they still are saying, well, I just want to be healthier. I want to get off my meds. I want to get off this. I want to get off that. I'm saying that we have to prepare to leave the planet, particularly when you are under the auspices of those who have launched genocide against you, and then you are not responding correctly and directly by exalting a full living, a full effort in your living. So people say that they're going to die. I'm saying we should not be dying at all. We should be leaving. So the cleansing of the body is a necessity so that your energy, your life centers are being activated. And in the context of that, it's not just a mechanical, physical thing. It's the spiritual virtues of integrity, of character, the empathy, the conscientiousness, the care, the service, the high ethic, the morality. You understand, in terms of what constitutes the stature of a being, is they're connected with the divinity of themselves and the divinity of all. And divinity is not seemingly anybody's conscious value in terms of what we're striving for in this. So under the forces of Satan, the disorders of religion that have undermined people, misled people, under the Luciferian forces, the governments and whatnot, who supposedly represent the people, and then the corporate deities of death, the meat, dairy, eggs, chicken, fish, alcohol, tobacco, and pharmaceutical industries and whatnot, between all of those working as a brotherhood against the whole of humanity, as humankind working against the whole of humanity, those who are kind of human, who are working against the oppression, suppression, depression being pressed upon, you understand, but then we go back to these same people for remedy. These are your doctors, your lawyers, your judges, those who are in the robes in order to really preach and have churches and whatnot to say all roads lead to Rome. It's under the Vatican. You understand? So I'm just saying is that we have to transcend and bypass the disorders of men and their statutes and their games of agreement and their government and whatnot, to acknowledge that there is absolute law that governs existence, and the fulfillment of the law is love, and love is the harmony of truth. And the truth is that we each are these points of an absolute and supreme intelligence that is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. We're divinely designed and designed divinely so that we should not be dying at all, because we are already immortal.
Let's pause right there, Sister Adama, and see if there are any comments or questions from our listeners.
Okay.
If you are listening, you can call 929-477-2789 to join the conversation. Sister Adama has certainly poured forth from her spirit and shared some life enriching information. Something she said may resonate with you, so feel free to give us a call, 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone, and we'll see your hand in the studio, and we'll open your line for a comment or your question. In the few minutes that we have left, Sister Adama,
let me say this. So that in order to reverse any of the diseases, from AIDS to ZIT, in order to reverse it, to absolutely heal from it, to get off your meds, get the blood pressure down, all of that, that's why we cleanse the body, clean the blood, you understand, recharge our spirit, remember who we are, what we are, and begin to create a whole life's urge. Because
let me jump in right there, Sister Dunn. Are you suggesting that these conditions can be reversed and we can be healed?
Absolutely. That's what I've been working at for years. I've been on radio 20 years, but in the 20 years that I've been doing radio and the 40 years that I have been strict vegetarian, I haven't had to go to a medical doctor for anything since I was like 18, 19 years old. I've got a 38-year-old that I never gave meat, dairy, eggs, chicken, fish, and all of that stuff to. He never got it. Never sent him to public school. Never had vaccinations. None of it. Okay, so I see the difference. We have to understand that there's a perfect design that we were designed to. So now that vegetarian and veganism is trending, you don't want a meat substitute. There's no reason to have a meat substitute. There's no reason to be eating a diet that's full of protein and starch. It's going to create acid, and it's going to create issues, which is why I've seen so many vegan vegetarians pass away with the cancer, because the starches and the carbonic acid, the uric acid, the lactic acid and whatnot, we just go from eating all of this stuff to having a plant-based version of the same garbage that we were eating. I'm saying, no, we can be completely cleared, cleansed, purified, and walk in the fullness of who we are, activating our DNA, being able to tap into the truth of who we are, and know that that is where our real wealth and our real power is, and that's how we win this. It's to be whole, to be healthy. That's why I established Mother Earth's Blessing Holistic Life Center at 1830 Cheshire Bridge Road here in Atlanta, and why I offer over the air, and I'll be on the air tonight, midnight to 6 a.m., 89.3 FM, WRFG.org, so that I am speaking to these issues consistently over time, so that we get it, and we want to walk in the integrity of our own authenticity, to know that we are the bridge between those who have come before us, those who are with us, those that we didn't allow to come, and those who've yet to come.
Well, I want to thank you, Sister Adama, for coming on tonight, for sharing with our Us Lifting Us family. I think
thank you.
The information that you've provided certainly gives perhaps a deeper meaning to the work that we do. And if I would suggest, or I would say that if at the bottom of what we're doing isn't this commitment to exalt a full life's urge, then we're really missing the point. We're not trying to just create a mechanism that's going to make money and put it in our pocket. our goal is much higher than that. We are trying to be the very best expression of ourselves as divine beings. And we recognize that our bodies are the vehicles that allow us to evolve to this exalted state. And so we have to make a commitment to heal our bodies. And in the process of healing our bodies, if I heard you correctly, Sister Dhamma, you said it also changes the way we think, and we can begin to optimally think and see solutions that we had missed before. Any closing words you want to share before we go off the air, Sister Dhamma?
I want us to realize this. You'll never have anything greater than who and what you already are butt naked. There's nothing that man has created, no matter how well it shines or glimmers or whatever. There is nothing that man has made that is greater than who and what we each already are butt naked. Our purpose in being is to be all that we are as these living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of an absolute and supreme intelligence that is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal under a world that has already proven that it is in such degrees of compromise with the laws of existence, we have to commit to the laws that govern our existence. We cannot be committed to the statutes and agreements of people if we'll continue in existence as conscious immortals. That's the
Sister
real
Dhamma, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Stay
so
strong,
much.
Be well, and we'll talk to you soon.
Very good.
Family, that does it. We'll be back next Thursday, 9 to 10. In the meantime, and as they say, in between time, stay strong, stay focused. Let's build together. Us lifting us. We'll be back next Thursday.